Wherever the road may take you, Discount Tire and Continental Tire get you there safely with the perfect combination of style, comfort, and price. Get a set of Continental tires at your local Discount Tire store or online at discounttire.com. Discount Tire, let's get you taken care of.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Week 5 episode of the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host, Cal Nusslinger, joined as always by Brian Hartman and Mario Adamo Jr. And guys, I gotta say, this week was kind of nice. We didn't have any severe injuries. I know it hurts us for the waiver aspect of this episode, but we don't have the biggest names to pick up. But as a general reminder, Week 5 is the first week of bye week, so we will still need to be active to fill those missing roster spots. So we had a very busy week, a lot of standout performances, including one against my Steelers, which we don't need to really talk about, but it was another great week of football. Mario, I'm not gonna ask you how you did this week, but just how'd you enjoy week four besides your fantasy matchups? Because we've learned you have no idea.
I mean, I loved it because I know I have CMC, I know I have Cowboys defense, I have David Montgomery, who I was reading, I peek the subreddit from time to time, Fantasy Football One. They're talking about like all these fools who bench Montgomery. It's like, I don't know if you guys watched Lions games last year who know who Williams was, and Montgomery is just that 2.0. So I don't check my scores, but I'm feeling pretty good with, like I said, those three guys leading the front.
Brian, how about you? How'd your week five end up? Or four, excuse me. Skip ahead.
You know what? Not too shabby. Luckily, I go with the shotgun approach in fantasy football. I make sure that I join so many leagues that you know, you're bound to get at least one or two wins a week. And you know what? I did just that. I pulled out just the one or two wins this week. But it wasn't too bad. You know what? We're not going to have near as much to talk about, as you said, in the waiver show. But if we have to take a hit, us personally, if we have to do that for you folks not to have injuries to your players, we're willing to do that. I think the rest of you guys are, you know, we'll jump on that grenade, folks.
Speak for yourself. I don't want to have interest. No, we're happy to... I'm happy to do that. As long as I'm still getting my wins and we can get you guys some wins, it is a good year. So good bounce back week. I had some of my biggest leagues that I've been off to a slow start with. I should likely get a win outside of extreme Monday night circumstances with, hey, the year this has been. Zach Wilson just looked like a competent quarterback Sunday night. So anything can really happen on Monday night football, which of course cost me a win in my work league. So not too thrilled about that. Thanks a lot, Zach Wilson. But like I said, a lot to highlight, a busy week. We'll start off, as we always do, with the news and notes. And before we get to the more quiet week of injuries, we want to start off with some of the just news stories. The week started off, at least on Sunday, with a interesting Toy Story version? Either you watch the Toy Story broadcast, or did you have the regular broadcast on?
Sure did.
Yes. Oh, of course. I had to just see what the hubbub was about. And I was happy enough to where I tuned in right when the Ritter pick six happened. So it was just electric, right? It wasn't like Patrick when he commented on Russell Wilson's last year's pick six, but it was still very, very good.
And that transitions perfectly into the biggest news from that game is that Arthur Smith came out and still said that they're going to be sticking with Desmond Ritter. We were talking before the show about the impact. Kyle Pitts has been a disaster. Mario, I'm sure you're going to want to talk a lot more about that when we get to the bus. But he's been a major bust. Bijan Robinson, still Bijan Robinson. No matter what happens, he'll be good. But Drake London has been very inconsistent as a result. So what do you do with your Falcons right now? Can you start, besides Bijan, any other Falcon? Are you expecting a switch to Taylor Heinicke anytime soon? How are you managing your Falcons going forward?
I don't expect a switch to Heinicke anytime soon. I feel like Ritter is just going to be the guy. It seems like, from my understanding, not a Falcons fan, Eagles fan, but is that they're just trying to coach him to his game, right? Like, we saw this last year. They just want to run the ball. They're trying to just keep it nice and easy and conservative. This one got away from them a little bit. It's the London game. It's always a little bit weird. So I'm not taking too much stock in it, but I do agree that the only people you're starting here is Bijan Robinson. Maybe a tight end from Atlanta, but that's a little teaser for the waiver wire section.
Nobody wants that. Nobody wants anything from this offense except Bijan, man. I am rooting for the day that we get to see Heinicke. Is he great? No, but he is good enough to get us fantasy points, and that's what we need. That's what I'm a Drake owner here. I just got out from underneath him. I had to move him on, but it's painful, man. You have to put him in there as like a wide receiver three flex option for you with touchdown upside. He gets you a touchdown, you're going to be happy. But without that, just that volume, just it's gross. I don't like it, guys.
No,
I don't want to be a part
of it. I'm a Kyle Pitts manager, much to Mario's chagrin and what he tried to warn us about. I've been saying all year, I thought there was good value with him. I got him in the eighth. Yeah, I'm actively looking to get a new tight end this week. I don't know if it's through waivers or through trade, but I'm making it a pact for that one league to not start Kyle Pitts this week. And then I'll be talking to you guys next week and say, guys, I still have to start Kyle Pitts. And maybe it'll finally be the breakout. I'm not expecting
it'll never happen
until Taylor Heinicke gets in place. But we'll figure it out. And speaking of switching quarterbacks, the Patriots were forced to do that last week after the 38-3 loss to the Dallas Cowboys, the worst loss of the Bill Belichick era. Same thing. Bill Belichick has come out and said, no, this was just game script. We had to just move to Bailey Zappi. Mac Jones is not in danger of losing his job. But similar question, what are we doing with our Patriots now? Do we think this is just coach speak? Is there a possibility that Mac Jones loses the job within the next couple weeks?
I feel like we saw this a bit last year, didn't we? Kind of like a little bit of Zappy coming in and out. We saw some the punishment of being benched. I think it's still the same. Same as week one. I'm not 100% where you guys were, but I was under the impression it was start Ramondre and get out of the Patriots offense outside of that.
Same. Yeah, I'd say Patriots have a little bit of the upside where I think Hunter Henry had a good little run start of the season. I think he is rosterable in the tight end wasteland we have. But even Ramondre at this point in time, like maybe, yes, they did face a couple tough defenses the last couple weeks. They just came off playing Dallas. So there could be brighter days ahead. But even if I have Ramondre, I'm kind of in the worry zone. But a fun stat about this game I heard, and it's too fun not to share, is that this was the Cowboys pulled off the first successful fake PAT since the line moved back in 2015. So the fake point after. This was the first one since 2015 that worked.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to see. But I still wonder if it was actually a called fake or if it was just a butchered snap. Either way, good for the Cowboys.
It looked good. Yeah, either way.
I am so looking forward to Sunday Night Football next week. Them against the 49ers is going to be almost as good as the Jets and Chiefs was. But yeah, that game is going to be awesome. I can't wait to watch a good Sunday night game, what we thought the Dolphins-Bills was going to be. But we'll cover all of that and more in just a little bit. But we got to go to the sad news, or what we mostly sad news, with the injury news and notes. And you know, we'll start off on a positive note before we get to the down news. We have some good news coming off IR. Cooper Kupp and Jonathan Taylor will begin practicing on Wednesday. So let's start with the resident Colts fans. Brian, we'll start with the Colts, then we'll go over to the Rams. Jonathan Taylor will start practicing, and they're not ruling him out for week 5. So what are we doing with Zach Moss? Do you expect Jonathan Taylor to play? Take us through this Colts backfield and what your expectation is for it come week five.
Ooh, so I know they've hit this, you know, this nail on the head many times, but another report came out that he still does not want to play for the Colts anymore. So I would be worried. I think also, too, we need to make sure that, like, with him and Kupp coming off the PUP, that it doesn't actually mean they're going to be on the active roster. You know, they've got 21 days that they can be pulled off from once they start practicing. So, you know, this could be prolonged for multiple weeks, and then you're having to pull them off your IR, which I guess, if, you know, if that's happening too. But just to Jonathan Taylor in general, I'm still nervous. I'm still holding on to Zach Moss because if Taylor's not there, Moss is still the guy. But if JT's active, I think Moss is done. Like, after a week or two of seeing that, you know, he's there and he's there and not being traded, I think Moss will be able to hit the wire for you at that point.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. There is some, I'd say maybe there's a little bit in the deeper leagues where if you really got nobody else to drop Moss for, you're kind of holding on to him in the case that the JT talks does get traded. You know, I guess you can hold till Halloween for that, or if he does kind of pull any of the holdout stuff. But if JT's in games with the Colts, he seems happy, you know, quote unquote, but I would definitely think that Zach Moss is then nothing more than just a handcuff. And you have to think that even in, you know, the last two Zach Moss games when Gardner Minshew was back there, we saw Anthony Richardson in this game. We're going to get to him in a little bit, but now he's the guy running into the end zone. So as a Jonathan Taylor manager, not only are you worried about his health coming back and, you know, his willingness to come back, but just how much does Richardson affect Jonathan Taylor and his overall performance?
Absolutely. And we're not saying by any means drop Zach Moss because, like, nope. You said, he's a handcuff, and Jonathan Taylor, he's practicing, but he could be on a new team in 2 weeks. We've heard all these rumors of the teams who've checked in on them. We've heard all these rumors that they haven't gotten any offers, actually. So who knows what's going to happen. This is going to be a saga that's going to last another 13 weeks, probably. So keep Zach Moss. He will be fantasy viable at some point again, whether it's he's a starting running back because Taylor doesn't play, or he gets traded, or what happens. But definitely keep Zach Moss. He's proven himself to be near the top, you know, 5-7 or so, like, handcuffed running backs in the whole league. And switching over to the Cooper Kupp extent, he's also going to be practicing beginning again on Wednesday. Sean McVay hasn't committed to him playing in week five, but, you know, we can hope that will be the case. So we'll be lucky to get him back in our rosters. But Puka Nacua, of course, has been an incredible story and set the record for most receptions in the first four games of a player's career. Where do we see him? Is he still going to be fantasy viable with Cooper Kupp? Because we all know that Cooper Kupp has that incredible chemistry with Stafford.
Yeah, okay, I'll tackle this one first, Brian. I feel like neither of us want to jump on this because that's definitely my biggest concern is, right, like, there's no way Puka is going to get 20 targets a game when Kupp's in the game. And you have to just, I have Kupp in a league, so it's like I'm worried because I don't know who's going to get those targets. Is Kupp and Stafford going to go back to having breakfast again right away, and that's going to immediately do, you know, 20 back to Cooper's side? Are they going to keep a kind of balanced offense? Is one of them going to be the Robert Woods, which is like you'll get 5 targets a game and there'll be one game you get your 2-3 touchdowns, and it's like, oh my god, now we got to talk about Robert Woods. But oh, I'm definitely nervous. If you have Puka, I think even when Kupp comes back, you're still going to start Puka without fear. I'll see how everything settles. But if I have a Kupp manager, I'm probably starting him, right? He was probably your first round pick. So you probably need him once he comes back. So I think it's a messy middle where you have to start them both.
For sure. Do you guys see that there's any world that we see Kupp actually get moved? Like,
no.
Training?
Yeah.
Oh, no, my gosh.
I can't see that happening. He's beloved in LA, and they're still, you know, they're 2-2. They're sitting in that playoff push for a wild card spot.
They got Puka. He's replaced them.
They have Puka, but if they were, what's their record right now? They're 2-2.
2-2.
I guess you see how the season plays out a little bit, because then maybe, like, Stafford's getting old. You could do the full rebuild, like, but I don't think so. I think you're holding on to Kupp. You're still sipping the Super Bowl Kool-Aid.
We've seen a world where the Rams have had more than one fantasy viable wide receiver. When it was Cooper Kupp, he's had Brandon Cooks on the outside, he's had Robert Woods. It fluctuated because it was Cooper Kupp, and then these two were just going back and forth. But we've seen other targets that aren't Cooper Kupp be viable. Puka's not going to be a wide receiver one anymore, probably, but he could still be a very solid wide receiver two for the rest of the season. I still firmly believe that.
we saw Jared Goff host two top 14 wide receivers in Sean McVay's offense. So, yeah, like you said, I completely agree that we could still see both these guys, even maybe even flirting with both wide receiver one options, you know?
Yeah. Definitely. So let's keep the high tides going with Kyler Murray. He's going to be activated as well, or at least he moves close off the pup where he might start practicing soon. He's still not ready. He's still got some ways to go, but it's sounding more and more like we will see Kyler Murray at some point. And the Cardinals have been playing very respectable. They're only 1-3, but they've been in every single game and even hung with the 49ers for a little bit on Sunday. So if you are stashing Kyler Murray, are you still stashing him? You move him if for another guy on IR. Obviously, it's probably team dependent, but do we expect to see Kyler Murray? And how soon, if we do, when will we see him?
I think my biggest fear with Kyler is one of his greatest assets, especially as a fantasy player, is his dual threat ability. And coming off this ACL, even if he is ready to go out there and, you know, drop backs, bootlegs, stuff like that, is he still going to be able to function and trust himself to be able to function and make those cuts? So I just worry that he may not have the true upside that he always does, you know, fresh off that ACL.
Yeah, and I'll say just with how the roster is kind of going on in Arizona, and just the win-loss record, they're 1-3 right now. They have looked competitive in some games. You know, their one win was against Dallas, like that big upset over there. But all that to say, you know, I don't think they're jonesing, like they're rushing to bring him back. And I think that there's been a couple good, viable fantasy quarterbacks on the waiver wire. So even if you did draft Kyler thinking, oh, I'm going to bring him back at some point, you're probably finding a replacement now. Even if you're juggling between one or two guys, I feel like there's a replacement out there.
Yeah, so let's keep... Now we'll go to the sad news from the week. The not as many severe injuries, but there's still some injuries that are worth noting. And we'll start, of course, with my Pittsburgh Steelers. The first one is a more severe injury. Pat Freiermuth, hamstring strain. It sounds like he's going to miss some time. We'll cover some tight ends that we want to pick up in a little bit. But if you have Pat Freiermuth, he's not exactly a stash candidate in terms of you want to keep him on IR. It's tight end. They're replaceable. I think he's you can drop him while he goes through. Steel would have a week 6 bye. So either you disagree with if you need the space, you don't want to need stash Pat Freiermuth.
Yeah, if you need the space, maybe it's like a 14, 16 man league where it's like, hey, you know, there's nothing to gain by throwing him back. But I'd say more than likely you find another tight end.
Any other news in Pittsburgh? Kenny Pickett is dealing with a knee sprain. He's expected to miss some time. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a serious injury. Ian Rapoport kind of said that they don't think he'll miss a major amount of time. They do have, like I said, that week 6 bye. So my current expectation is that he will miss week 5 against the Ravens. They'll go into the bye week in week 6, and by week 7, he'll be back at practice and possibly starting again. So it looked bad. It was a horrible play call. I can go on a whole rant about how much Matt Cannon needs to be fired, but nobody needs to hear that. But so if you're rostering the Steelers, you have a George Pickens, you have you know, you're streaming Calvin Austin, can you Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, can you start any Steeler next week with Mitch Trubisky probably starting?
Not with confidence.
No, you're not excited about starting. Even with the bye weeks, I'm scrounging around elsewhere for options.
Completely agree with that. Possibly some more severe news. Mike Evans suffered a hamstring injury in about the, I believe it was the second quarter against the Saints, and ruined our exciting Marshawn Lattimore versus Mike Evans part 11 that we were all really excited to see. Chris Godwin had a huge game as a result, but the good news for the Bucs is they do have a bye week, so I think he'll be fine. We'll probably see Evans again in week 6, but monitor that situation closely. T. Higgins, possibly more severe. He has a rib fracture and is going to miss some time. We don't have exactly a timetable, but I'm pretty certain we're not going to see T. Higgins for another couple weeks. So let's talk about that Bengal offense. If you have anything to say about the Bucs, do you think Evans will miss more time? Let me know. But at this point, who gains the most in that Bengal offense? Who's someone that's out there on waivers maybe, or someone you're looking to add? And I know the Bengals have been pretty awful, so is anybody actually a priority add as a result?
Yeah, I guess I would say, one, you're hoping Jamar Chase is going to get more looks and targets, right? Because you probably drafted him top 4 overall pick, and he really hasn't been performing. So you're hoping that. And then I guess you could start looking at Tyler Boyd would be another wide receiver who I think could maybe emerge. We kind of talked a lot about in LA for the Chargers with Mike Williams going down. We're trying to find the replacement over there. So like Josh Palmer ends up being like a pretty good option. So it kind of has shown us that another guy can emerge. Again, I'm going to say Boyd, he's talented. He has had some decent finishes last year. I'm just kind of skimming through. He had a top two finish, one other one in top 12, but otherwise kind of mad. But all that's, I guess Tyler Boyd, he'd be my dart throw, right? But otherwise, you're just kind of hoping that the stars are going to shine brighter. Joe Mixon's going to get more opportunities, hopefully. And then, like I said, Chase is just going to keep being Chase, keep trying to get open.
I mean, I don't really think we're chasing too much here. You know, like Joe Burrow threw for 165 yards last week. He's clearly hurt. He's going to be out there for week five that. Because it's playoff or bust if they don't win this game this week. Like statistically, there's no shot nearly at them making the playoffs. So I think we're going to see him out there, but I think it's going to be gross. And if, you know, you're struggling, you're looking to fill a spot, sure, roll the dice with Boyd. You know, he's returned before. Trent Irwin, I think we're going to talk about in the waivers a little bit too. I think he's maybe a little sneakier. Burrow was good, but not right now.
Yeah, I agree. We'll cover the Bengals in more extent throughout the show, but just the headline there. Maybe look at Tyler Boyd or Irwin, but we'll cover that as well in a little bit. Justin Herbert has a fractured finger on his non-throwing hand. Doesn't seem like anything severe. He came back into the game and looked like MVP Justin Herbert. He's looked like throughout the season, so I don't think this shouldn't downgrade any Chargers going forward. Possible bigger news also, Javonte Williams left the game with a hip injury. Again, monitor that situation closely, but it wouldn't shock me if we see them, if we see him miss week five as well. So how do we monitor this back, this Bronco backfield? Does Samaje Perine just take the grand job and run with it? Is there somebody else in the Bronco backfield we want to add as a result? What's the current readout in Denver?
Well, Callan, I thought Samaje Perine would be the one who benefits from this. I have him in a couple deeper leagues because I was like the guy who got seriously injured last year might get injured again. So all those Perine stashes, I'll say, unfortunately feel like they're for naught, because I'll say Jaleel McLaughlin seems like he kind of emerged. The young guy from Denver, he looked like the one to have in that backfield. So I'll say probably out of everybody on the waiver wire, he's the one I'm most excited about, just because whenever you see the main bell cow running back go down somewhere, you want to see who's the guy that fills the void, who's the next bell cow off the waivers. And I think he has the best chance to be that.
I just don't want a piece of this offense. I agree with everything there, Mario, like everything.
But
like,
then also, yeah,
I understand, you know, some teams are hurting, so you've got to make some choices here. So I definitely think both those guys will be options. I did see something recently that it was just supposed to be a hip flexor injury, so it might not even keep him out, but definitely something to be monitored. And hell, might even be able to just grab these guys a little cheaper then.
Is McLaughlin the top priority for running backs then? Or I know we'll cover in a bit, but you know, where do you put him in terms of some people you want to add right now?
I'll say out of the running backs, there's not a lot I want to add. The waiver wire article definitely was, it's not the deepest pool this year, this week. So I would probably have him at the top, but kind of like what Brian's saying is like, you're not playing the Bears every single week if you're the Broncos. Yeah. So like they looked good this week because of that.
Yeah. My stream of, oh God.
I was kind of off topic. I just saw that Tre'Davious White ACL was confirmed. That's a big hit for the Bills. Dang. That's for sure.
Everybody's defense can
maybe feel more comfortable starting your wide receivers against the Bills going forward. So not this week, but so the Jets, the Broncos do play the Jets. So you know, we saw Isaiah Pacheco have a really good game, and maybe that's because it's Isaiah Pacheco, but it's a tougher matchup, but maybe someone you get interested in for the running backs. We'll cover that more in details. But the final injury, it's just something to monitor. We don't have exactly any confirmation of it yet. Is Davante Adams left the game with a collarbone-ish shoulder injury? He came back and was still Davante Adams and looked great. But he kind of did say after the game that he was sore and a little surprised he was able to come back in this game. I'm expecting him to be back out there in week five, but just monitor the practice report closely. He could be one of those guys who gets a surprising, you know, Wednesday or Thursday limited or mispractice and gets us concerned. But as of now, I think he'll be back out there week five.
Same. Just keep an eye on it during the week, but I expect him to play with whoever's throwing to him.
Yep, completely. Completely agree. Whether it's Garoppolo or O'Connell or whoever. Maybe they go to Brian Hoyer this week because it was not the best, but we'll see. Let's go over to, let's finalize the week four and go through some of the booms and busts for week. We'll start on the good note again with the booms, guys who had such league-winning weeks that we need to cover. We'll start at the quarterback position. Brian, kick us off, your biggest performer at the quarterback position.
Well, you're setting me up for the bias here. People aren't going to listen to this anymore. But Anthony Richardson, the Colts' number four overall pick, is looking great. Having scored a touchdown in all three of his starts this year, a NFL record I was looking at. Mm-hmm. Yep, something none of those running guys have done, especially not the Colts, Peyton Manning. It's one record he can get, you know. But no, he had a great performance. Oop. Didn't particularly throw the ball well, 11 for 25, only 200 yards, but he had two passing touchdowns and then ran one again, as I said. Tacked up 56 yards, and he's just so much fun to watch. This is great for football. This is great for fantasy, and the bias take, it's great for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I'd say he's the best rookie quarterback, but there's another quarterback who tore apart my Pittsburgh Steelers. I'll cover that more in the waiver show, but CJ Stroud, I'll give you just a shout out. We'll go deeper in you later, but he's really good. He's probably going to be a weekly starter from like Kiernan in 12 team leagues. I'm incredibly impressed with him. But Mario, you had a guy you've been shouting out the past few weeks, and I know you want to get your moment with him. So please take it away, your biggest quarterback performer of the week.
Yes, my biggest quarterback performer. And I'm just going to go on a whole tangent here. I'm going to say one of each position because this offense shined. It's the Bears. They still lost the game, and maybe I'm so invested because I said they were going to win the division. I placed a little sprinkle on that start of the year. It's not looking good. But Justin Fields finally had the day you drafted him for. I think he was the fourth or fifth quarterback off the board. I mean, and he finished QB4, passed for four touchdowns. I think he was I'm going to butcher the stats. Something about being like one of the few Bears quarterbacks to throw for over 300 yards. And it's like, because that franchise just doesn't have quarterbacks. But he threw four freaking touchdowns. We love seeing that. Didn't do as much running. That's what we loved about him last year. Only 25 yards. Richardson's kind of stolen that throwing from him. But with Justin Fields having such a good day, again, I'm just going off here. DJ Moore, somebody who I've been high on, and not just because I'm trying to sell him to all my league teammates and trying to upgrade there, but DJ Moore, 8 catches, 131 yards, and a touchdown. I think that if this offense has any kind of passing game, it's going to DJ Moore. He's going to get the receptions, the yards, a touchdown, but not all the touchdowns because we're still going. Cole Kmet, someone who was Justin Fields, one of his favorite targets in last year. Justin Fields had a great connection with Cole Kmet. Gets in the end zone twice today or yesterday, 85 yards. And then just lastly, I'll say that this is Justin Fields adjacent. I can't be stopped right now. It's Khalil Herbert, someone who has kind of been struggling a little bit. I mean, I'm looking at his weekly finishes, 55, 35, 25 before this week. But this week, before Monday Night Football, he finishes his RB8 on the week, 22 fantasy points, 100 yards on the ground. So this Bears offense, I wish they could play the Broncos every single week because, again, I'm so in on the Bears fantasy-wise, and this was my Christmas. This was my holiday.
So, Mario, I'll ask you as a resident, well, not Bears fan, but Justin Fields proofer on this show.
We'll take
it. Is he back? Is he an automatic lock in your lineup now, or are you still have to playing starts? He does play the Commanders on Thursday Night Football this week, so how do you view him going forward? Is he an automatic start?
I think so. I think for the next few weeks, right? Like, you look at the first couple weeks he had to play, Green Bay always gets owned by Chicago, just a fact. At Tampa Bay, who is a pretty vicious front four, and then Kansas City, which you knew they were always going to be behind. That was always going to be an ugly game. The Matt Nagy revenge game, so that one was always going to be ugly. Denver finally had his chance to open up and shine. Washington, their front did look really good against the Eagles. I'll say that. But I'm starting them with confidence on the short week. And then versus Minnesota, ugly defense, so you feel good there. Vegas is a mess, and that's as far as I'll go. After that, you got Chargers. I'm still starting them.
Let's move over to the running back position where there were a lot of highlight performers, and you know, I could give a bunch of names right now, but I'd rather turn it over to the other guys. So, Brian, kick us off, your biggest running back performance of the week.
Well, you say Brian talk about running backs here, but I don't know if I'm going to, because instead I want to talk a guy with a career quarterback passing percentage of 85%. You think, oh boy, he's talking about Peyton Manning. Here goes the Colts fan. This guy, so the average touchdown percentage for quarterbacks, it usually sits in that 4 to 5%. This guy is sitting at 50% touchdown rate. He is unreal as a passer. He is 6 for 7 in his career. I'm talking about the king. Yes, King Henry this week, finishing as the RB7. As of now, we still have Monday night games to go, but 24 attempts, 122 yards, a touchdown, caught a pass for 11 yards, and then he threw in another touchdown. Like, what can't this guy do? We pulled out old noodle arm Tannehill, and we threw in King Henry, and just, it's great to see it happen. You know, I was a little nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, is this the fall of Rome? Does the king go down here? Not that there's kings in Rome, but you see what I'm saying. But, you know, I was worried that, like, you know, maybe Derrick Henry was done, but no, he came back out and still showed that he's still pretty good.
Yeah, we talked last week about him as a, you know, get out of the ship, it's get concerns. He calmed some of those concerns. I still have some. I may still want to move him and try and sell off of his performance, but it was a great week. It's nice to know that Derrick Henry can still be Derrick Henry, and he's got some favorable matchups going forward, so I think he'll be back to his, maybe not the prime Derrick Henry, elite Derrick Henry, but he'll still be a very good low-end running back one as of now, right? That's the way. I think he proved he's still who we thought he was. Mario, any other comments on Henry, or give me your running back performer you want to talk about?
I could go on and on about King Henry, but I won't. I just did my big spiel on the Bears. So I want to talk about somebody else. I'm going to talk about Isaiah Pacheco. Big fan of him. He's another one I kind of drafted a lot because it seems like he was going to be the guy, right? It seemed like he was going to be the unopposed RB1. I remember week one, there was a little bit of back and forth between him and his backfield mate, forgetting the name. But these past couple weeks, especially where the Kansas City Chiefs wide receivers, it seems like it's just such a disarray. Like, there's no clear, he's the guy. You know, they have Kelsey, of course, but they have no wide receivers that you're starting with confidence, that you're looking at with confidence, that Patrick Mahomes is looking at with confidence. So what does that mean? It means that the run game is going to get more involved. Pacheco is just getting volume. And the thing that stands out to me the most is 20 for 115 yards, but it's the 20. He got 20 rushing attempts in an offense that is led by Patrick Mahomes. So they want to run the ball, even though they have the best quarterback in the game. So very, very promising. He did get the 3 receptions. I don't have the targets in front of me, probably close to that. But Pacheco, I'm really excited about. I think he is one of those guys you drafted in the 6th, 7th, 8th round maybe, and could be a potential diamond for your team.
He's everything we've wanted Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be all these years, and he looks great. And well, as a guy from New Jersey, it's nice to see a Rutgers player having some a season like this. But Pacheco's been really good. I think we can all say they will be out on the Jonathan Taylor sweepstakes because they've had the success. And another team they'll be out on the Jonathan Taylor sweepstakes, considering the success, is the Miami Dolphins. Devon Achane, 8 carries, 101 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 targets, 3 receptions, 19 yards. I was hesitant to put him in my lineup. I had a league where he was not in my lineup because I thought there was going to be too much of a committee. And, well, there was a committee, but Achane once again showed that he was the best in that committee and outplayed Raheem Mostert. There's still going to be a mix of carries, but I don't care anymore. Achane is becoming a must-play week after week now. 2 straight weeks like this, you can't bench him. So shout-out to that. And also, before we wrap up the running backs, shout-out to this guy, Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if we've all heard of him, but 20 carries, 105 yards, 3 touchdowns, 7 receptions for 70 yards, and a touchdown cool. receiver. He is good at the football. If you have Christian McCaffrey, just a hot take, keep him in your lineup. I think you'll be okay.
So. It's in the league I have McCaffrey. I also have Debo and Kittle. Like, I just figured they're going to score a lot of points this offense, just get as much as this offense. Turns all you need is CMC. CMC gets enough points where it's like these other like for the whole offense combined. So obviously love him. But about Achane, something I just had to look up when he said 8 carries for 101 yards. That's over 12 yards a carry. Like, that is just absolutely insane. I just thought that was cool.
it's wild because he's probably going to see about that 8 to maybe 14 touches opportunities a game between, you know, the air and handoffs. And he's just going to be one of these guys that breaks efficiency metrics, kind of like Aaron Jones did, kind of like Kamara did. Titans, Johnson. Completely.
Chris Johnson. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
Calvin Johnson kept trying to.
One of my first loves, like, CJ2K.
But yeah, I think he's just going to be an unreal efficiency guy. It's insane watching him in the Mike McDaniel offense.
Yeah. Before we get over to the wide receivers, just a quick update. I just got an alert for the Pat Freiermuth injury we talked about. He's expected to be 2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks missed time with the hamstring injury. So yeah, if you have him. He's droppable. It's tight end, and he was already in that fringe, you know, bottom tight end one thing. So drop him. Go find one of the streamers we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, I think he's droppable there. Before we move over to the bus, we got to shout out a few wide receivers. Not much actionable for the first guy, so I'll just do it real quick. A.J. Brown, 9 receptions, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Mario, you're an Eagles fan, but there's not too much more to say about that. He is very good as well. If you have
very
him,
good. Keep him. Yeah, he should have went down, though. I'll say from a football sense, he should have went down, not scored that touchdown. We gave the Commanders a chance to get back into that game. And he taunted, which, you know, a lot of bad football right there, but great for fantasy.
Great for fantasy. And that's what we can hear about in this show. But, yeah, he's very good. And the other guy we want to highlight is Nico Collins, wide receiver 3 on the week, 7 receptions, 168 yards, and 2 touchdowns. The week after we all hype up Tank Dell and how he might be even number one receiver on this team, Nico Collins wants to remind everybody he's still around. And I talked about CJ Stroud, how he's going to be a weekly starter probably going forward at this point. Is Nico Collins in that category now? Where do you, you know, have him? Is he a must play the rest of the season week after week?
Not next week. Next week will be Dell's week, and the week after will be Collins. As we're seeing, we're flip-flopping as the show is going on. We're pulling all Nico Collins on week two, and then Dell pulled at week 3, so you know, we might see a little inconsistency, but good for fantasy football.
For fantasy. And I was just gonna say, like, can you imagine, like, you have this guy and he just popped off as wide receiver 3? It's like, is there any doubt you bench him? But we just talked about Achan and how people are like, oh yeah, I, you know, he scored 50 points last week, but I benched him. So there's still gonna be the doubts, but I think unless you have much better, you know, right, like, unless you have just tried and true names that you can trust, like, I think more than likely you start Collins almost always.
Yeah, like they Jamar will Chase. Play. Exactly. Yeah.
Jamar Chase. I mean,
tried and true right there.
Yeah, might be Collins.
Yeah, they do play the Atlanta Falcons this week, so we've shown they're not exactly the better mid-tier matchup, I'd say. So, but you're not, you know, if you have Nico Collins, try and find a way to get him in your lineup going forward. And shout out also Jake Ferguson, 7 catches, 77 yards. We'll cover him with the tight end waivers. But if you're looking for a replacement for Pat Freiermuth or Kyle Pitts, like I may be, Jake Ferguson's a pretty good option. He's become a big part of that Cowboy offense. But before we go over to these waiver options, we got to talk about the bus, because there were a lot of guys who disappointed us, including some that may or may not be on our rosters. So Mario, we'll kick it off with you. We don't need to go position by position. We probably will end up doing it anyway, but give me your biggest bust, your guy you want to spend the most time on that's not named Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, because that's a given. This is like his section. I was thinking about how the booms is just like, that's the CMC section. The bust would just be the Kyle Pitts section. I guess a lot of great names to choose from here. I'm going to say Kirk Cousins, though. Kirk Cousins is coming off a lot of good games. I'm going to have to pull up exactly how many games. So shame on me. But Kirk Cousins has been like a pretty reliable fantasy starter. Like the Vikings have been losing games, but it wasn't his fault. Here we go. Weekly finishes of 9 in week 1, followed by 2 and 4. So you're feeling great about him. Then he drops an absolute stinker, 11 points. But they won the game, right? So I guess that's what matters, but not to us, because again, we're a fantasy podcast. Next week they play the Chiefs. So you have to think he's going to be back to, you're going to think that the Vikings are going to lose that game, which means you see Kirk slaying it, but he's probably my biggest disappointment, because I think he was someone and he'll still continue to be a set and forget. Like, you're not panicking. Like, if I have Kirk Cousins, I'm not dropping him, but stinks to see.
Yeah, it definitely does. I was actively trying to trade for Kirk Cousins in a league last week. Didn't get him, but
price got lower.
Get him because, yeah, right. So we'll see. I'm bounce back. I still think great things are ahead, because they haven't fully been establishing that run game. So I wouldn't panic on Cousins. He's not droppable. You keep him in your lineup and he'll still be fine going forward. Over to you, Brian. Who's your biggest bust of the week?
I'm actually going to group up a few pairings of wide receivers. We had Tyreek and Waddle get, you know, absolutely shut down up in Buffalo, finishing at 38 and 45, respectively. We had Pittman and Josh Downs, right as you're getting excited about those two, were shut out completely. And then another duo up in Cleveland with Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore. Granted, they had a quick out with Deshaun Watson being declared out Sunday morning, and the rookie came in, but still both those guys finishing in the wide receiver 90s. It was rough. It's definitely rough out there for some of those wide receivers.
Yeah, anybody in that grouping that you're not willing to write off that you're more concerned about, or is it just, you know, 1 week, move on? Anybody have some more concerns about?
They're wide receivers. They're inconsistent. You have to expect it. You know, even Tyreek's not perfect.
Yeah. Fair enough. One name I want to shout out, and we'll go into some more detail on some of these other ones, is I want to talk about Miles Sanders. He finished with only 13 carries, 19 yards, 3 catches for 13 yards, a total of 5 fantasy points. He finished at running back 37. You may have a manager who's extremely concerned about that, and as you should be. It's been an inconsistent season. He clearly is not playing as well when Bryce Young's at quarterback for whatever reason. I'm willing to write that off as just he was dealing with an injury all week, and he probably should have sat a week. I was picking up Chuba Hubbard everywhere to be my replacement for him, and they played him, so I had to play Miles Sanders, and I just don't think he was fully healthy. I may throw out a buy low offer if you're looking to get Miles Sanders. It's concerning. He hasn't been his full self this year. I'm willing to bet that he still will bounce back the rest of the way. He's got a pretty favorable schedule coming up going forward, so I'm willing to write that one off. Any further concerns about him, or are you in the same boat with me?
It's just that whole Carolina offense, right? Like, Adam Thielen, I think, is pretty electric. He has his good games, but otherwise, you know, I'm not excited about Bryce Young at the moment. I'm not excited about any other pass catcher over there. And so I'm not excited about the running backs either. It's just, it's not an exciting offense.
That is fair. That is fair. But as we're talking about running backs, we'll move over to another guy. And this is one I think we should really get everybody's opinion. We'll quickly just say Raheem Mostert, as a result of Achane being very good, he was kind of a bust. Finished running back 41. He'll still mix and match. We've seen them both have good weeks, so I'm not panicking on him yet. You guys think any differently?
You feel great if you sold him after last week. I'll say that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you probably feel great if you sold this guy, and this one we feel like we should have probably a little bit more of an in-depth discussion, is Ramondre Stevenson. We talked at the beginning of the show about Bill Belichick suffering his worst loss as a head coach, and Stevenson has not been great. We got the report at the beginning of the week, or before beginning of the game, that Ezekiel Elliott was going to be in a committee and get the starter reps compared to Ramondre Stevenson. We've seen them really split reps at this point, so how do you manage Ramondre Stevenson going forward? Where do you rank him at this point?
Ooh, okay. I'll jump in here. I'm a little bit of a Stevenson hater. I would call him phony all last year. So, but I will say to his defense, two tough defenses he's coming off back-to-back weeks, right? At Dallas, at the Jets, and those are his two worst finishes. Before that, he faced Miami and Philadelphia, both at home in these two better games. So he finished 13 and 17. I'm not panicking yet the whole Zappy hour this past week. Maybe I'm panicking a little bit because you want to have as much consistency as possible. But next week, you're playing versus New Orleans. You're home again. So it kind of reminds me of Jared Goff last year. You're excited when he's at home. But then New Orleans doesn't scare you. Vegas doesn't scare you. After that, we get Buffalo. And I'll admit that does scare me a little bit. So I think these next 2 weeks are going to be the weeks. And I'll even say, again, mostly as a Stevenson hater, if he has a good week next week versus New Orleans, I am jumping ship. I am sending all the offers I can. I'm taking quarters on the dollar. I just don't want him. I want him gone.
Fair enough. And before we move over to our waiver options, anybody else you want to give a quick shout out for as a stink the bed, you know, we're done with, you're looking to ship away, or anybody concerned about?
I mean, we are at that point where bye weeks are hitting. Bench spots are valuable. There's young wide receivers all over the place that I am worried about. Drake London is one, despite the touchdown. Yeah. Alarms are going off. Treylon Burks has me nervous. JSN, we're watching him in this game now, but I just, all these guys, we had so much, we had too much offseason to talk about. We got too hyped.
Yep.
And they're letting
us down.
We've
been spoiled by good rookie wide receivers. That's the problem.
Yeah. We've got Waddles and Justin Jeffersons and, you know, Garrett Wilson's, you know, out playing their quarterback. It's just, yeah, we got spoiled, and I think we overshot what we should have been expecting from these guys.
Yeah. And for tight end position, Dallas Goedert, 2 receptions, 25 yards. This is now 3 straight weeks, or 4 straight weeks, of less than 10 PPR points. His most receptions he's had in the game is 6 for 22. Mario, I'll ask you quickly, as the resident Eagles fan, if you have Dallas Goedert, should we be jumping ship? Should we be looking for a replacement, or do you expect better things to come?
It kind of reminds me of the George Kittle kind of situation, right? Where the offense is working. You know, the Eagles offense could work better, but it just seems like he's just not getting the attention. They have a new offensive coordinator this year, and I think there's a little bit of just growing pains. I feel like there's too many awkward Jalen Hurts designed runs. But I'll say Goddard, I'm not, from the few games we've had so far, and from the 4 games, I'm not seeing a lot of confidence that he's going to get more involved. To me, it's more like if you start him, you're just hoping it's the one week he gets a touchdown. Otherwise, I don't think there's any shame in looking at a Jake Ferguson who's getting 7 targets every single game this year, except one. I'm looking at just more consistency, and I don't think Goddard's that. I think Goddard's now boom or bust status.
So same status as every other tight end in the league. It's not Travis Kelce. You're just hoping for a touchdown. Yeah,
yeah, that's just it. Exactly. He's now in the wasteland, the tight end wasteland. You thought you had a guy, you know, you paid premium for nothing.
Sorry. You have to wonder, too, like, Shane Steichen leaving the OC for the Eagles, him going to Indianapolis, you have to wonder if a lot of that tight end favoritism that he had with Goddard, not quite favoritism, but, you know, he used him quite a bit.
Just involved,
if that
yeah.
was part of him, because, you know, the Colts, we saw 2 tight ends score touchdowns this past week, and another one had 5 targets. So, like, I wonder if that a lot of that is just scheme and we were, you know, weren't anticipating that.
Yeah, no, I think that'll be extremely interesting. Let's move over to the waiver wire targets that we're looking at. As a reminder, I said the bye weeks are starting. So just as a quick heads up, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, Los Angeles Chargers, and Seattle Seahawks will all be on a bye week this coming week. So you'll be looking for replacements for the fantasy viable options on those teams. We talked about the running back position to start off with Jaleel McLaughlin and Samaje Perine. We don't need to fully cover them again, but if you're looking for a running back, those seem to be our top priority at the running back position. Outside of those guys, it's been a pretty, I'd say, quieter week in terms of waivers, but who are some running backs you guys are targeting to try and get, whether it's a start for running back or even a stash at this point in the season?
Yeah, so you're the resident Steelers fan, so I'm going to get your thoughts on this guy. But Jalen Warren, you know, I talked about him in the waiver article this week. You probably read it, and now you're probably listening to me talk about him here. But this was the first week where he had the same number of snaps as Najee. So I think it's just, you know, one thing we always talk about is just chasing the volume. Jalen Warren seems to be getting some of that volume. He also has more targets. He has 22 targets, and Najee Harris is 8. He has more fantasy points than Najee Harris. Najee was drafted, I think his ADP was around like the mid-20s, maybe, you know, low 30s. But then Warren's like probably not even drafted, right? So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Kyren Williams kind of situation. He's not popping off in that sense. But when you have the backup getting more fantasy points than the guy you drafted in the 3rd round, that's just, I would just pick the guy up just to have Warren on your roster.
Yep, there'll be plenty of targets going his way, especially with either a banged up Kenny Pickett or Mitch Trubisky. I can see some dump offs going. Najee Harris had his best game of the season, and that's not really saying much. It was 70 yards, but he looked like himself. I'm going to put it more on the Houston Texans defense than Najee Harris coming back. But this is becoming kind of I've compared it to is the Zeke and Pollard of last season. Najee's a bruiser. Jalen Warren's going to be catching passes. So they'll be mixing and matching. We'll have the weeks where they're both viable. As of right now, I'm not starting either, but they're both worth rostering, and I definitely think Warren could be a stash, especially if they make that switch, because you got blown out 30-6. Something's going to change on offense.
Something. Yep.
Brian, over to you. Any other running backs that you're targeting this week?
Like you said, we don't have any people that really jump out. It really depends on what your team need is. If you're going for you know, the McLaughlin P. Ryan for the start this week, or if you're looking to stash, I think Jalen Warren's a great one. Roshan Johnson, we're continuing to see get involved despite Herbert having a great game this week. Chuba Hubbard, Justice Hill, all these guys that do they really move the needle? Not a whole lot, but we've got to do what we've got to do when it comes to bye weeks and injuries. So all guys that I think need to be rostered in most leagues.
I think Chuba would be my favorite of that just because we saw Sanders already dealing with an injury. And we've seen him be involved in the passing game. So if there's any sort of injury to Miles Sanders, I think Chuba will be a consistent RB2 for as long as Sanders is out. So I like that call. All of them are good things. I will highlight Jeff Wilson, too, as someone you want to stash. He's coming off IR this week. We've seen Achane. We've seen Mostert be good. Why not add another running back? If you want as many pieces in this Miami Dolphin offense as you can, and Jeff Wilson, he's got the rapport with McDaniel from their time in San Francisco. So he's going to be used somehow. I don't know what, but they're going to find a way to make him in this mix and somehow have three fantasy viable running backs. It will be crazy, but you know what's going to happen with the Miami Dolphins. But maybe let's go to the more impactful position for this week with wide receivers. A lot of our running backs were stashes going forward. This one you may five at one or two spot starts or anything. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but Mario, let's kick it off with you. Who is your top priority at the wide receiver position?
Man, couple names here. It's a little bit of a mess. And I'm going to do a little bit of a curveball because I don't see his name on the list, but I talked about him a lot in the article. That's Michael Gallup over in Dallas. You know, last year I was a big fan of chirping that Gallup was the Higgins to CeeDee Lamb's Chase. It didn't really pan out last year, but I'm back on it this year. I'm still thinking it's possible. So here we go. Over the last couple of weeks, Michael Gallup finished as wide receiver 27 and 33. So nothing flashy, but I'd consider that a pretty solid, pretty viable wide receiver too, even a flex option, especially as we're going into bye weeks. He has at least six targets in the last 2 weeks. The Cowboys offense is finally learning what the forward pass is. The first couple games, they kind of just got by on their defense. Now it's like, we need to throw the ball. We need to score ourselves. And then last thing about him is he has 17 targets on the year, or tied for the third most on the team. He's only behind CeeDee Lamb, who we know is going to be the guy, and Jake Ferguson, who we've kind of already talked about on the show, and I think we're going to talk about even a little bit more. But so all that to say, like, Gallup, I don't think he's going to set the world on fire. He's not the next Puka. But when we're in bye week season, I think he's someone that you don't need to spend a lot of fab on. I don't think people are looking at him. I think he's a good zag while everybody's zigging.
I like it.
Yeah, thanks. I really do like that call. It's been he's had his fantasy viable moments. We're all excited about Brandon Cooks to be that number two. Well, maybe Gallup has just taken over that. So I like him. He could be a good spot start for this coming week. There's a lot of other good options there. So Brian, over to you. Who are some other wide receivers we need to look forward to this or look for this week?
I think one of the flashier ones, maybe one with a pretty good ceiling, is going to be Jameson Williams. He's coming back from his suspension a little bit early. So if you had that plan of attack of grabbing him a couple weeks before the suspension, a lot of those people obviously would have done that because he is coming back. If you know you're not allowed to put suspended players in IR, I'm a big fan of letting that happen because you know that's just me. But if he is floating out there, I think he's definitely worth it. Just temper expectations because I don't think they're going to throw him out there immediately game one. I think it's going to be a little bit of a warm-up over a couple weeks. But yeah, great upside. He was a huge talent first-round pick last year.
Yeah, I obviously he's got the most upside of anybody, you know, first-round pick playing for this Lions offense that's really starting to gel and play some great football. So I do like that. One name that I want to highlight who might be, after Jameson Williams, my next priority, it's Michael Wilson for the Arizona Cardinals. Seven targets, seven receptions, 76 yards, and two touchdowns. We were talking about how the Cardinals have started to play more respectable football and stay in games. And a lot of it is because Josh Dobbs has been playing pretty good as a quarterback. He's up there in terms of passer rating. He's impressed and playing for a job and not trying to make sure that Kyler Murray doesn't rush himself back. And, you know, Wilson has a draft pedigree. He was a pretty high draft pick and as a rookie. So I'm very excited about him. We were all seeing the hype about Marquise Brown being the one, but you know, while he'll still get his work, someone else has to emerge in this offense. And I think Wilson's got as much upside as anybody on this list. So after Jameson Williams, Michael Wilson might be the the guy I'm looking to grab as the de facto one or two on this Cardinal offense.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Cardinal offense, I'll say it's still, this has been the week where it's just not a lot of exciting offenses, right? Like we talked about, like a couple, like just the non-impressive one, like the Steelers. It's like, you know, here's Steelers to people, but we're not excited. I feel like the Cardinals are kind of the same. It's like James Conner, you're like, Hollywood is, you know, a little bit here and there. Zach Ertz, he's getting targets, but it's still not like, it's a tough week. You're in the 14 man, you know, deeper leagues with injuries and bye weeks if we're looking at these teams.
Yep. I definitely like that. Any other names, real quick? We talk about the Bengals guys. I think Tyler Boyd is our favorite of there. Anybody else worth mentioning? Or how would you, if not, then how would you prioritize these receivers? Williams ahead of Wilson? Is it Wilson? Is it Michael Gallup? Where's how would you rank our three favorites?
I like Gallup as one. Jameson Williams might be my two because I feel like he reminds me of the DeSean Jackson type where, you know, he's good for one of these games. He's going to get, you know, three catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, he's going to be one of those guys. So I'd say he's probably my number two. Then I'm kind of looking at these stashes. Like, Brian's kind of gotten me on the Mims hype. So, like, I actually picked him up in a couple leagues. So I'd probably have him as my next guy, right? Because you just want to find the stash. And
can we get Broncos... Sean Payton on the hype? Like, holy crap.
It'd be nice.
What in the world?
Do you think he's a listener? Like, if he is, like, please, like, let's get Mims involved.
Clearly, yeah, get Mims, get McLaughlin involved. Let's get the guys we are looking for fantasy to be involved.
Too busy watching Kevin James movies, I guess. I don't know.
That was one of the weirdest castings I've ever seen when he got announced. I did not get it one bit when that happened.
Kevin James in the memes now, so topical. There we go.
Yeah, I guess a few flyers I'll throw out there. Jaden Reed is probably going to fall to third in the depth chart as far as the wide receivers behind Christian Watson now that he's back and Romeo Doubs, but I thought he was a good talent coming into this year. Michael Wilson, we touched on. Mims, of course. Rashee Rice continues to develop in that offense. Do we see a second pass catcher come out of there outside of McKinnon maybe at some point from the running backs? And then Jalen Hyatt. You have to trust a New York quarterback, unfortunately. You've got Daniel Jones throwing the ball to him, but I think he's got a talent that's worth grabbing as well if you've got a bench spot.
Yeah, all good upside. I think there's a lot of it. It's the same thing with running back. We're going for upside plays here. We're going for stash candidates. Maybe one or two of them are, you know, Tyler Boyd, if you need some safe points, he's probably startable next week. I think Wilson could be startable. That's kind of about it. I mean, they're kind of flexing. A lot of it is you're going to be just going with the guys you have and holding on to some bench candidates. A lot of the waiver targets that this week are stash candidates with a lot of upside. But maybe we'll have some more luck at the streamers where we can't really stash these positions. But we'll start at quarterback. There's not too many options this week, even with the buys. So I think CJ Stroud's probably easily our top candidate. We've talked about him a lot on this show, but if he's still sitting out there, go get him. Even if you have to stack him on your bench, he deserves to be rostered all throughout. But anybody else, you know, if you're placing any of these quarterbacks that are going to be on bye that we want to pick up for a week?
I'd probably go Sam Howell. It's not pretty. You don't want to watch the game. But he's just quietly, he's put up his third top 13 finish for quarterback this year. And Chicago has been one of the five softest matchups for fantasy QBs this year. So I don't think it's a bad play. He's always got a little bit of rushing upside. And if he doesn't have some of the best fantasy receiving options that just don't see work. Wow, it sounds like we're down in Atlanta again.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I love the Howell call. He might be who I'm placing in some of my leagues.
I'm a big fan of CJ Stroud. I think that if he is available, I think he is a send forget quarterback at this point. He's yet to throw an interception, knock on wood. But like I said, he is just putting up some great performances. So he is my number one quarterback if we're looking at any quarterbacks. You guys already mentioned probably my favorite name. So just one other name coming off a good week is Baker Mayfield. Which is kind of weird that without Mike Evans, when Mike Evans got hurt, now Baker Mayfield finishes as QB7.
Baker will be on a bye.
Oh, Baker is on a bye. Oh, no. So I'm so excited about him. He's still my stash. When he comes back, he plays Detroit, always in shootouts, plays Atlanta. I think their defense is soft. And then he plays at Buffalo. That's going to be a disaster. But so there you go. If you're planning ahead for your bye weeks, if you don't have Justin Herbert, but maybe you have somebody else who has a week 6 or 7 bye.
I like that idea to go get your guy for going forward.
Like future yes. thoughts. I do that. Listen, I have Dallas defense. I'm already looking to see what defense plays on their bye week, because you know I'm not dropping them.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah, if you have a 3-0 team, or possibly you're listening, a 4-0 or 3-1 team can afford to stash a guy on your bench, look ahead. It's never a bad idea when you're in those leagues. Let's go over to the tight end position. We've talked a lot about Jake Ferguson, so I think he's the clear number one. A lot of use in Dallas, and they're playing some really good. Tough matchup with the 49ers, but Ferguson could be entering that conversation of kind of set and forget a tight end. I'm not ready to put him there yet, but his usage, he's getting very close to that, especially over, you know, Kyle Pitts, but definitely a great option there. Any other tight ends that you guys want to pick up, especially with missing some important guy options this week?
All right, well, stay with me here, but if you're streaming quarterback and you're grabbing Sam Howell, let's go ahead and get a nice little stack here and go Logan Thomas. I know that
what
guy.
What year is it?
I know. It's gross. I don't like to hear it, but when I look at some of the scores these other tight ends are doing, why not? You know, let's roll the dice here. It's Eric Bieniemy's offense. The Commanders are throwing to the tight end position at the third highest rate in the NFL, over a 30% target to the position. It's unreal how much that he is involved. He's trying to create Travis Kelce from three bodies. Taylor Swift might be coming to a Commanders game to check it out. She's heard the news. Yes, I got the joke in. But on a serious thought, like Logan Thomas, we've seen some goal line work for him. He's a huge target. He's a big body there. So if you're shooting your shot looking for a touchdown, I think going up against the Bears, it's a nice win for the week.
I don't think after that pun, this podcast can ever get back together. If we're doing it, I'll throw one in there. Although I was one of the many fans who were just getting tired of the constant Taylor Swift mentions during Sunday Night Football. But hey, everybody's doing it. I got to throw one in there. But I love the Thomas call against the Bears. Do it. Mario, you got about 5 minutes left in the show to make up a pun, so you better do it for us.
Oh my gosh, yeah. The any of
So since you're our resident Kyle Pitts hater, give me some options you're looking at to replace him, if anything, on the waiver wire.
Yeah, so hopefully he's already off your team. Jake Ferguson's probably my number one tight end. We've already talked so much about him, so I'm not going to continue to harp on him. But I will, just to add to the Kyle Pitts slander, Jonnu Smith is the new tight end one in Atlanta, just coming off a weekly finish of tight end 3 for Monday Night Football, where he's doing it without touchdowns, by the way. 6 for 6 on his targets, 95 yards. He's the one getting it done. And even in the past couple of weeks, nothing too flashy, but weekly finishes of tight end 15 and 18, both with just under 9 points. So he has that kind of floor, gets you just about between 8 and 9 points. Sometimes he goes off, like I said, gets the 15 points. Everybody's so obsessed with having a tight end from the Falcons. Just get the correct one. If you need so badly to roster one, then I don't know. Jonnu Smith is the guy. I was trying to think of Taylor Swift stuff, but honestly, like, it's just so limited my Swiftie knowledge. It's just more of like when cover bands just do their songs, and that's how I know them. So all that to say, Jonnu Smith is the one you want, is the one that you want.
If you've got Kyle Pitts, you've got nothing but teardrops on your guitar coming your way.
Here it is. The lob the jam from Brian. Thank you, everybody.
Jonnu Smith might be the ultimate. How are we recommending? We always talk about the guys who were just like, it's 2023, last year, you know, 2022. Why are we mentioning these names? Jonnu Smith is 100% in that category. But a couple other names, Tyler Higbee is becoming more involved in this Ram offense, but keep an eye on it with Cooper Kupp coming back. We all know that Stafford can really only manage 2 high-end targets, so Tyler Higbee will likely lose those targets with Cup coming back. And then Luke Musgrave, he's completely involved with the Packers, but same thing. Let's see what his usage is going to be with how good Romeo Dobbs has been, with Christian Watson being more involved in the offense. So keep an eye on that usage from Musgrave, but he's a name that I'll circle, maybe not add yet, but monitor that going forward.
A little bit of a love story starting there between me and Musgrave.
There we go.
But I got to tell myself, I just got to shake it off.
Oh my gosh.
So it doesn't hit me, because you know, you got to worry for that bad blood coming at you. All right,
You're so lucky. We have defense. We have defense to cover. I was about to end the show right there.
Oh my gosh. Man came prepared. I'll say.
You can't see me right now, listeners, but I am cringing hard. But Brian, let's take your mind off Taylor Swift for just a couple more minutes and give me some defenses that you want to stream going for this week.
Dude, I don't want to jump on this. I don't know where the Commanders bandwagon is coming. Maybe it's the bye weeks that are hitting me, but I think they're a decent play against the Bears. But I'll give you the Lions because Bryce Young hasn't looked it. Miles Sanders, as we touched on, looks a little injured. The receiving options, there's nothing but the old guy running out there. I think the Lions are a decent play against the Panthers this week.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, great one. I got three. I'm gonna rattle off. These are all ones from my article, from the article that we do, the waiver wire ones. So hopefully none of these are like Baker Mayfield and are actually on a bye week. So my number one, I'm gonna say maybe a surprising team, but the Texans. They're traveling to Atlanta to play the Falcons. Desmond Ridder just threw two picks, including a pick six. That doesn't mean the Texans are gonna get a pick six, but the Falcons are probably one of the ugliest offenses if they have to throw the ball. So I like the upside there. Detroit Lions, roster in 4%. They're facing Bryce Young. Kind of talked about that, Ross, that offense, ugly. And last but not least, the Dolphins. The Dolphins playing the Jets. The Giants, the other team in New York. And the Dolphins have 10 or more points they have exactly 10 points in two of their last three games in the defense. So, landing rounds.
We're watching this game live, and Daniel Jones already has a fumble, not an interception, but there are some fantasy points right there. Dolphins is a very good call. I like all three of those options. I'm definitely going to be looking for that. I'd say the Bengals, maybe they're playing the Cardinals, who are playing respectable, but it's still Josh Dobbs. So if you're desperate, I think the Bengals could be a fine stream, but I think there's a lot of streaming defenses. It's back up there. I think this week there's some good options that we'll be looking for, but that's going to do it for this episode of the QBless Fantasy Football Podcast. As always, if you have any particular questions about waiver targets, what you saw this week, you can look on our website, QBless.com. Join in PL Plus, QBless Plus, I guess, as well. You have access to the full staff with our Discord. We're talking football all the time in there. The games, reactions live, start, sit decisions, trade discussion, waiver priorities, all of that good stuff, dynasty help. We're all in there. We're chatting up every single week. We have the What We Saw, the Start Sit shows and articles. We have streaming articles and waiver wires that these two are working on. A lot of great content on QBList.com. So definitely, if you're listening to this, you know about it. But just as a reminder, check out the work. We have written stuff, too, outside of just our voices. But you can find the show itself at QBList. Me at Callen_Elsliger. Mario and Brian, why don't you plug your work, your Twitters before we wrap it up?
Yes, we'd love to. So you find me at Mario Dama Jr. on Twitter. Also, Cal mentioned, but I do Start Sit every week. We've been doing Falcons Houston this upcoming week. So if you want even more Kyle Pitts slander, somehow these games keep falling to me. I don't know how. So tune in there. I'm also very active in the subreddits. .com is my username over there. I'm always answering people's questions. I'm very active. I usually do a big old thread every time our articles come out Thursday. So if you have any questions, post them in there. I'll do my best to come find you.
And if you've got any time after covering all of that great stuff with Mario, you can find me at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. I'm going to be popping into Reddit a little bit as well. Looking for more tight end drama and more Taylor Swift puns. You can come out the streaming tight end article that I do. It's going to be on the website. And we're gonna have a great week, guys. Y'all ready? Gotta be fearless.
We
should have had a counter. I should have had a counter going.
Look what you made me do.
Huh. All right, that's gonna do it for this episode of the QBList Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. As always, we'll catch you next week. Let's hope. Let's keep these wins going. It's been an exciting week. Let's hope the injuries stay clear and we made it, guys. Two straight weeks now of not jinxing injuries while we're recording the show. So we're back on track. Woo.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.